And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Good Guy, Bad Guy. Each of my guests is discussing qualities of a good or a bad person. My next guest is a former Major League outfielder, best known for his keeping the clubhouse loose with occasional pranks and gimmicks. We'll talk about baseball and the role that humor plays in good leadership. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Jay Johnstone is a former professional baseball player, active from 1966 to 1985 for the California Angels, the Chicago White Sox, the Oakland Athletics, Philadelphia Phillies, New York Yankees, San Diego Padres, Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Chicago Cubs. Jay was known as a versatile outfielder with a good sense of humor, known for keeping that clubhouse loose with his occasional pranks. He later served as a radio color commentator for the Yankees and also the Phillies. His career highlights are many, but they include as an Angel preserving Clyde Wright's no-hitter against the Athletics in the seventh inning by catching a Reggie Jackson fly ball at dead straightaway dead center. As a Philly, he went 7-for-9 in the 1976 National League Championship Series against the Cincinnati Reds. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. However, the Reds swept that particular series. Closer to home, as a Dodger, he hit a pinch-hit two-run home run in Game 4 of the 1981 World Series against the New York Yankees. That home run rallied the Dodgers from a 6-3 deficit to an 8-7 win, and that victory also paved the way for the Dodgers to tie the series at two games each, and then they went on to win the overall series as well. Joining us from Southern California, hi Jay, how are you doing today?
I am great. Thank you very much. Great to be on your show.
Well, thank you for being our guest. I love to have sports figures like yourself and talk a little bit of sports. Now, the first 5 years of your 20-year season career with baseball started with the Angels, and you recently were part of the Angels' 50th anniversary celebration. And I know you're still...
That was fun. That was really fun.
Now, it looked like a good time, and I can't believe that it's been 50 years that the Angels have been around in baseball. So I want to ask you, because you're still affiliated with the Angels and also the Dodgers, what do you think of the off-season acquisitions that the Angels have made, in particular acquiring Albert Pujols from St. Louis, C.J. Wilson from Texas, and Mark Burley from the White Sox?
Well, I think the acquiring of Pujols would be a great deal if he could only learn how to bunt.
A power hitter like Pujols bunting, huh? All right, good, good.
No, what a great deal for the Angels. To pull him out of the grasp of a lot of other teams that were vying for him is an amazing act by Artie Moreno. And that's one of the things that made the Angels really strong the last several years is Artie Moreno is a businessman. And he knows that in order to make money, you have to spend money. And that's been his way of being successful as a businessman. And he's been very successful as as an owner of a major league team. He's taken the Angels from a small market team, as people used to call them, into the major markets. And with these two acquisitions, and they've also picked up a couple other guys. This is going to push them right to the forefront. Now they're going to be the team that everybody watches. And I think they're not done. I think they still want to improve their bullpen a little bit. So it's going to be a real interesting year. But just to see Albert Pujols get out there and hit in this beautiful, warm Southern California air, and that ball flies out of that stadium.
It ought to be something to see. There's no question about it, Jay. The thing that I find interesting, and piggybacking on what you said about Artie Moreno, is that Albert Pujols came from the World Series champion St. Louis Cardinals. C.J. Wilson, the other pitcher that they acquired, came from the runner-up, the Texas Rangers. What does it say about Artie that he goes out, not only gets the best players, but gets them from winning organizations as well?
Well, not only that, he figures if they're on his team, they can't beat him, you know? That's just smart moves, you know? Because he's going to be fighting Texas. The Angels are going to be fighting Texas all year next year. And so take their top pitcher. It makes it a lot easier, you know? But it's just that Artie Moreno wants to bring another championship back to the Anaheim, Los Angeles area. And he is not afraid to spend money to get the top players in the game. Last year, we know there were a little short injuries with the Kendry Morales and the guys that that were supposed to be there. The bullpen kind of faltered. We had a very young bullpen, and they really hadn't matured yet. So I think that's going to be one of the other acquisitions that we'll see happen. And he wants to bring a World Series back, and he's not willing to spend the money to go out and make sure he gets the best players. And of course, you know, with these players, it's going to fill up the seats right and left, so the Angels are going to be, again, over 3 million-plus people.
Yeah, that's an amazing draw. My guest is Jay Johnstone. Jay, your thoughts about Mike Socha as a manager, product of the Dodgers organization, really made his name as a manager for the A's. He has ties here in Ventura County, as you probably well know. What are your thoughts on him as a professional major league manager?
Well, he was a teammate of mine on the Dodgers, and especially when we won some games back then in the 80s, and you could see that, and remember, if you go back through the history of baseball, see how many managers were catchers. I mean, there's a whole bunch of managers that were catchers because the catcher has the entire game in front of him. He's the only player on the field that does that, and he sees everything, and I played for and been a part of team where several managers have gone on to manage major league teams. And so his aspirations all the way along were to stay in baseball and hopefully someday, maybe get lucky and get a job as a manager. And he did what you needed to do. He went to winter ball. he learned to speak Spanish so he could converse with the Latin American players. And he started at rookie league and went to A ball, double A, triple A, and finally landed a job. But the Dodgers blew it right out of their shorts when they let him get away. It was an amazing thing that they did, and of course back then that's when Fox owned them, and Fox let about maybe 10 or 12 former Dodger players get away. And he got down to the Angels. The Angels saw what they had in him, and he's been an excellent manager ever since.
Without a doubt, he has. My guest is Jay Johnstone. Jay, let's turn attention to your career, if we can, for just a minute. And I find it amusing that your manager in Philadelphia, Danny Ozark, once said of you, what makes him, referring to you, unusual is that he thinks that he's normal and everybody else is nuts.
Well,
how did you earn the reputation of being such a screwball?
Oh, did we love Danny. Danny was a lot of fun to play for. We just used to let him think he managed. And really, Larry Bowe and Lazinski ran the team, but I love playing for Danny. And, and if you couldn't play for – Danny's one of those managers that can't play for him, you can't play for anybody because he's really easygoing. He lets the players do their thing.
Well, without a doubt, you've played for some great managers. You played for Lasorda. What was it like playing for Lasorda?
Tommy was an unbelievable person when it came to motivating the players to play up to and above their capabilities, as you saw with the 88 World Series team.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, when you look at that team and the talent that the other teams have, there's no way that the Dodgers would ever be picked to win a World Series. And yet, he was able to get the players to play and get them to believe in themselves that they could do it, they could win. And, of course, the home run by Gibson was just the magical touch of that. But that was the great aspect of Tommy, is that he could really get the players to perform better than maybe they really were.
Now, in your career, you played for the Yankees. Did you play for Billy Martin?
I
what
did.
Sort of manager was he?
He was probably the best strategist that I had ever played for. Billy would start in the third, fourth inning. Let's say you weren't playing, and he'd walk up and down the bench, and he'd go, "Hey, Jay, hey, Roy White, listen, if we get to the seventh inning and they start warming up so-and-so in the bullpen," he said, "I want you to be ready because if they bring in him, Jay, I'm going to hit you here, or Roy, I'm going to hit you here, maybe Jay afterwards, but this is how I'm going to do it. All depends who they bring in, what the score is, and what who's on." And he'd start telling you strategy in the third and fourth inning.
Wow.
So now, if you're not playing that particular day, you're sitting on the bench, and all of a sudden now you're in the game because you're watching what's happening, knowing that if this happens, you're going to be there, or if that happens, someone else is going to, you're going to be right behind them. And believe me, it makes a big difference because I've actually played, and I won't name them because I don't want to embarrass them, but I've played for managers that have actually called for a pinch hitter to hit, and they traded them 2 weeks before. And they picked another manager called for a pitcher, and they had released him like a month ago. And so, I mean, you just kind of look it down and go, what do we got here,
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not out to embarrass anybody, but when you play for some managers that have no idea who's on the team, you start to worry. But Billy always kept you in the game and let you know what you might do, where you might be, how it will go down, and that's why I consider him probably the best strategist I ever played for.
I'm talking to baseball player Jay Johnstone, author of several books, Temporary Insanity, Over the Fence, and Some of My Best Friends Are Crazy. Jay, you also played for the Oakland Athletics and the Chicago White Sox. Did you have the opportunity to play for Tony La Russa at either of those two destinations?
No, I did not.
You
did not.
All right.
But Dave Duncan was his catcher way back then, too. But the Oakland A's, the 73 A's team, which we won a World Series with, probably was the best group of players talent-wise. I mean, at every position, they probably could have fielded an all-star. And then their pitching staff was unbelievable with that staff. And then their bullpen, I've never seen a bullpen that's ever come close to this again. They had Paul Lindblad and Horacio Pena as the first setup men. And then your top relievers were Raleigh Fingers and Darryl Knoll. So you had setup men in the seventh inning that could come in and do the job and could have been a top reliever for another team. And so Dick Williams had this to go with. And then in the eighth and ninth inning, if he wanted, he had Darryl Knoll and Raleigh Fingers. I mean, you know, he's got four top guys that can come in and shut you down. And to win a World Series is hard enough to do, but to win three in a row is amazing. And those players were able to win three World Series in a row. And I was part of the 73 team. And they were an amazing group of guys.
It is. It was an embarrassment of riches on that particular team. And repeating three times in a row may be a feat that is a long time before we see that repeated as well.
I think so.
So, Jay, let's come back to you, though, being so unusual. You're known for some of your pranks, and some of your more memorable pranks include...
Well, let me tell you why.
Why? Okay. Tell me why.
I'm a rookie. I'm 19 years old. I got a flat top. The furthest I'd ever been away from West Covina was El Monte. What's that, 8 miles?
Yeah.
And so... when I first get up to the Angels, and I had to go in the Marine Corps. I was going to get drafted by the Army. I got a draft notice for 4 years, so the only way to get around it was join the Marine Corps for two. And I figured two is better than four. So when I came out of the Marines, I was so gun-ho, I re-upped in the reserve, but I was able to do my time in all of January. So when I got to out of the Marine Corps, they sent me to AA. I was there 10 days. A couple guys got hurt in AAA. And they said, who's doing well, Johnstone? Get him to the AAA. And then I was up for AAA hitting like 375, 380.
Wow.
And Rick Reichert, Bellison, came down with an infection, had to have a kidney taken out on an operation. So they said, who's doing well, Johnstone? Get him to the big leagues. So within a span of three and a half months, I went from the Marine Corps to the big leagues. But when I got there, Rigney says, I know you're young. I know you haven't had a lot of experience. So I'm going to give you a great roommate. And he can help you. So who do they stick me with as my first big league roommate? Jimmy Pearsall. Now, here's a guy that went nuts twice, okay? And so he's walking around with the papers going, proving, see, I'm saying, yeah, okay. And so that's where my learning of baseball began, with Jimmy Pearsall trying to teach me how to play the outfield, and all his crazy antics that he had done in the past just kind of rubbed off on me.
Now, you're saying that none of the antics that you're credited with doing are actually yours, putting the brownie in Steve Garvey's glove, for example, lighting people's cleats on fire, giving them what you call a hot foot, nailing people's cleats to the walls. None of these are attributable to you?
Well, it's not that. It's just that the start of doing all these crazy things came from Pearsall, and then I kind of branched out on my own.
I'll say you did.
And the hot foots were great. I did it to an umpire one time, and it was the funniest thing. We're all sitting in the, and then I realized, you know, if he finds out it was me, man, I am in deep trouble. And we watched him behind home plate. He came in between innings on a day game to get a drink of water. It was a really hot day. And it was American League umpire. I won't bring up his name. And all of a sudden, he's at the plate. And he starts stomping on his foot, you know, moving it around and then kicking it. And the whole team was laughing. And Chuck Tanner came in. What did you do to the umpire? Everybody laughed. I said, I don't know, Skip. He's got a problem with his foot, you know. Anyway, to make a long story short, the hot foots were a lot of fun, and the brownie in Steve Garvey's glove was just it just came to me because a couple of people, young kids in San Francisco, came down. They were two young girls, about maybe 13, 14, 15 years old, and they had this box. They said, Mr. Johnstone, my dad's a big Dodger fan, and so are we, but he got transferred from his job in Los Angeles here to San Francisco, and so we just wanted to bring you guys down these brownies. And I'm going, yeah, could be the brownies like Bill's Baseman Lee had with marijuana in him or something.
Right.
Anyway, I put him up on a bench. It was a hot day. Garvey was coming up. I said, let me put one of Garvey's glove on the infield ball. He'll get a kick out of it. And that's how all this thing started, you know.
That's how it started. Well, one of my favorites, when you were a Dodger, you were during the pregame warm-ups. You actually got out of the dugout, climbed on top of the dugout, went up in your full uniform to the Dodger Stadium concession stand and got a hot dog. How did that play with the fans?
There's a story behind that. I didn't actually go over the dugout. I went around.
Okay.
There's a story behind that. Tom Lasorda had us out, about four of us, Bill Russell, myself, Yeager, one or two others. He had these kids coming out at 12 o'clock for a clinic, like off Dodger Field. He was going to do it for some friends of his down in the Fullerton area, whatever. Anyway, he had them come out at 12 o'clock, so we had to be there 11, get dressed. And then so that we did the clinic and went to about 2:20, 2:30. So we're there at 2:30. So now the game's starting at 7:30 or whatever it is, 7:05. And then so we're not going to go home. So we're there all day long, and there was no food in the clubhouse. And so there's no food. And, of course, Tommy doesn't share food, as you well can imagine. You can tell by the weight he gained. And so Bill Buehler made him a big pot of pasta, and he took it in his office, locked the door, ate the food, and then there was none left for us, you know. And so about the second inning, or actually after the first inning, I'm hungry. So I told him, I said, hey, Skip, I'll be right back. And so that's when I left. I went up in the concession stand. I'm standing in line. Fred Clair walked by. I had a heart attack. And he sort of called me in, and I just told him. I said, hey, you didn't get us any food. I was hungry. So.
Fred Clair, the general manager at the particular time. My guest is Jay Johnstone. Jay, I got to ask you, all the teams that you played for, the span of your career is pretty incredible. Who was the best player that you ever saw play or that you ever played with? Was it Carlton with the Phillies, Winfield at the Padres, Santa with the Cubs, Jackson?
No, honestly, the best,
yep.
The best hitter that I could think of, that I ever saw, was Ted Williams.
Ah.
The Stan Musial was probably a two hairs underneath him. But the best swing for a left-hand hitter was Billy Williams. They used to call him Sweet Swinging Billy Williams. But there were so many great players back then. If I had to name the best all-around player,
yep,
it'd be a tie between Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. I mean, both of them were superb. Both of them could play the outfield. Both of them could run. Both of them could throw. And both of them could hit for power. Mantle hit from power with both sides.
Yeah.
And so those guys, you know, I go back and look at that. Roberto Clemente was a great player. There were so many great players back in those days. I mean, I'm leaving a lot of guys out. But, you know, my two idols were Duke Snider and Mickey Mantle, only because Mantle was a switch hitter, and that's what I really wanted to be. But Duke was in L.A., and so I batted left a lot because there weren't that many, there weren't that many left-handed pitchers. And so those were my two idols growing up, and it was a great chance to, you know, broadcast the Yankees. I got to do my radio show for Mickey Mantle's Restaurant, and of course, when Duke was broadcasting in Montreal, Garvey and I would have dinner with him. And I have stayed in touch with Duke and his wife Beverly up till a couple of days before he passed away.
And oh my!
Still just a great gentleman and a terrific person. And those are my two guys that I looked up to.
That's amazing. My guest is Jay Johnstone. Now, Jay, since you've left baseball, one of the things that you do, you're a celebrity spokesperson for various events. You've got an event coming up this week where you're going to be speaking. I think it's on Wednesday, December the 13th. So tell us about the appearance that you're going to make for the Book Publicists of Southern California meeting. It's at the Sportsman's Lodge in Studio City.
Well, it's Irwin Zucker asked me to come out and tell some of my funny stories, but and he knows that I've written 3 books. And so, and I love going out and meeting people, and that's the fun part. I get a chance to go out and meet the public and say hi. And he said, well, bring a bunch of your books. Maybe they'll buy some. I said, well, okay, I take my books and I use it to buy tickets from various clubs, and we send kids to baseball games that can't afford to go.
Nice.
And so I do a lot of stuff with the Boys and Girls Club, and it just so happens that Major League Baseball a couple years ago picked them up as their national sponsor and stuff like that. But my golf tournament that I hold every year in January, I have it, is coming up this year, January 16th. This will be the 34th year we've had it. I've hosted it for 28. Benefits about 12 different charities. So it's kind of my way of thanking people and giving back. And so when I go to these clubs and organizations and events like the one I'm going to go to Wednesday night, it gives me a chance to get out and to talk and tell stories and tell them how much fun I have and how much I appreciate the fact that without fans we don't have baseball and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that is great. Now, that meeting is open to the public. It is Wednesday night, as I said. And if you want reservations, you can call 323-461-3921 to reserve yourself a spot. My guest has been Jay Johnstone. Jay, it's a delight. A lot of great stories. The time passes too quickly. Thank you for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, take care. Thanks for having me on.
Take care.